When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we go. Line ball to start this game.
Jeremy Loblotsky and John Morassi teeing off on one another.
And Toporowski is just pounding away at Robinson. We said Toporowski, this is the guy who set a Western Hockey League record for 505 penalty minutes.
Let's call it like it is. Toporowski's a boon.
Getting closer. He reaches in a right back runner. He's not Scott Griffin. He's Scott Ford. Stu Griffin. Oh, my goodness. Scott Parker with a KO of Stu Griffin.
This is one of the best hockey fights we have seen in a long time.
Vinnebush tells the linesman, get the heck out of my kitchen.
Ray Victor, he absolutely decked Jim Crane with a wild right.
Sheer stagger by a big left hand by Wade Bielak.
Chris Nyland on a penalty shot. Score!
Bugard down the wing. Bugard bombs away. Score!
I don't want you at all. Number 47 from Boston. Those guys, 5 minutes each for fighting!
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to episode number 91 of the Five for Fighting podcast. My name is Alec, your host, and this is a show where we focus on the players who drop the gloves and the fans who enjoy watching them do it. Sorry, folks, I am very, very late getting this out, and I apologize in advance for any sniffles or coughing you might hear on the mic. You might be able to tell my voice a little bit as it's kind of nasally. I have been sick, so I apologize. I've been a little bit late getting this out, and as some of you have followed before, it was corrupted. The intro file was corrupted. Thankfully, the interview wasn't. And so this is all all the episodes have been waiting on is for me to re-record this. So I apologize. I've been very lackluster in that aspect. So I'm going to make this a quick intro because getting late here. Got work in the morning. But a couple things have happened in the interim, leading up to this and everything. But I'm not really going to get into it too much. All I'm going to say is I'm got a new job that should allow for more time on the podcast. Funny, I said it's going to allow more time on the podcast, and here I am getting sick and been lacking on the episode, but should allow more time for podcasting. And I know my schedule in advance and they're set hours, so I think it's going to be great for the podcast and my mental health as well. So we'll put it that way. Also, going forward, the podcast will be covering some enforcer signings here and there. I know a couple just happened, but I'm going to go over that in a later episode, probably this upcoming week. So just keeping that in the pipeline to let you guys know what's going on. But of course, this episode is focused on Kelly Bent. I want to thank Kelly again for coming on the podcast. Had a lot of fun talking to him. Some great times we discussed. And this is the first time that Kelly has ever talked about the incident that happened with Boku Imama and everything and going after the underager there. So we get to hear Kelly's thoughts and his take on the whole situation and how it went down for the first time. So I'm very excited to bring that to everybody. Folks, as I've mentioned in the previous episodes, I am actually a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. So if there is a hockey team you enjoy in the NHL, more than likely there is a show for you as all 32 NHL teams are represented. I also want to give a shout out to the boys who are original content side of things, which are Darren at the Fourth Line Voice, the Original Enforcer Podcast, and Joe Lazito over at the Coliseum Chronicles, the Penalty Box. Those two have, you know, stuck around and been a part of the podcasting world for a long time and helped me out. And I also got to give a shout out, though, to the newcomer, Jordan over at Five at a Game, who covers QMJHL and kind of Quebec League tough guys, so LNH stuff, guys like that. Jordan's covering it all over there, so I encourage you folks to go check those boys out. Check out the boys over at the Hockey Podcast Network. Like I said, I'm sure there's a show for you over there, so go check it out. The last shout out, of course, is for the boys at Hit Club Hockey. That's what the guys do in my merch. You can get my merch from their website. Just go to hitclubhockey.com and you will be able to find my merch. It should be a little banner, or just go over to the collections tab. It'll be the Five for Fighting merch. But not only do they do my stuff, they do plenty of other stuff as well. Some great designs, and they're supporting minor pro tough guys, and not just tough guys, goalies, goal scorers, and everyone alike. But it's great to see them support the boys of minor pro hockey, and that's part of the reason I went with them. And really kind of drew me to their brand in the first place. So do me a favor, go check out the boys at Hit Club Hockey. And lastly, of course, if you want to follow the podcast, you can follow me at Five for Fighting Pod or Five for Fighting Podcast. Just search it any tab. It's going to be on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you're looking for the handle on Twitter, it's the number 5, and then for Fighting Pod, the handle on Instagram is Five for Fighting Pod. But if you're on Instagram or the new app Threads, just search Five for Fighting Podcast. Should come right up. Don't forget to please rate and review the show. I encourage you to go do that. It takes 2 seconds, and it really helps the algorithm. The algorithms really seem to enjoy ratings and reactions to stuff. So it really helps out small-time content creators, not just myself, but do it for the guys like Jordan, Joe, and Darren over there, and all the guys of the smaller podcasts. You know, there's more than just spitting chiclets out there, right? So if you are a listener or, you know, a follower of a small-time podcast, please rate and review. It really means a lot. So that being said, folks, I'd like to keep this under 5 minutes. We're going on 4:30 here, so I'm going to go ahead and get to it. Thank you guys for sticking it out with me, and I appreciate everyone being patient with the Kelly Bent interview. And I hope everybody enjoys. So without further ado, let's pass it over to Kelly. Thanks, everybody.
This should be good. This should be very good.
All right, folks. Here today on this lovely Sunday morning, we have a Wichita Thunder currently playing in the ECHL. One tough customer, and that is one Mr. Kelly Bent. Kelly, how are you doing this morning?
Great, Alec. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. How are things with you?
Oh, pretty good. You know, like I apologize in advance. I messed up our timeline this morning, so I know we're running an hour behind, so I apologize. But no, things couldn't be better out here in North Carolina. We've been having bad weather, but it's all sunny and clear today, so it's been nice.
That's good. We've had a couple flood warnings around here, so it's the weather's probably nicer down there. You're probably close to the beach area.
No, I'm still about 2.5 hours away from the beach, so it's not too close, unfortunately. But
okay.
Yeah, I wish. Believe me, beach sounds nice. We got the lake. The lake's about as close as the beach we'll get.
That's perfect.
But before we start kind of diving into your career, you know, what have you been up to in the off season? I know you said you've been working a bit here. So you know, what does Kelly Bent do in his off season? In between the ECHL Thunder and what you do now?
Yeah, currently I'm just working with kids, coaching hockey. My father has a program where we're developing like U15 kids to anywhere from their 8 to 15 years old, where we're just working on the ice with them, getting them ready for their own camps. So that's, I just work with them, nothing too crazy, where I have buddies who are shoveling dirt and stuff like that. So I'm not getting my hands too dirty this summer.
Yeah, there you go. So is it just like kind of like a skills camp and just general like skating or anything? Is it any like specific skill that you focus on, whether it's shooting or power skating, or is it just kind of a general clinic for kids?
Yeah, so my old coach from Dalhousie, Chris Donnelly, runs most of the practices, and I'm just out there helping out, just teaching kids. Obviously, I can't teach them too much skill, which I don't have, so more or less, I'm just out there just telling them they're doing great. We have 4-on-4 league, which on Sundays, which is today, where there's no coaching involved. They just go out and have fun with it, so it's that's what I'm doing today. So it's just for them to get out there in the summertime, just kind of hang out with each other, work the hardest, get ready for camp, so that's all I'm doing.
Absolutely. Well, you know, getting into your hockey career here, when did you start playing hockey? You know, I know you were born in up there in Canada. Were you a typical Canadian kid where as soon as you're able to walk, you know, your parents are throwing you on skates and throwing you out in the pond, or were you a little bit of a late bloomer?
Yeah, so I was obviously the first child in my family, and the QMJHL team here, Halifax, is is here, so I love going to games. Dad had me out on the ice when I was two or three, super early, but I'd be in the basement on roller skates. I had videos back home of me pretending to fight the Moosehead jersey. I was there strapping myself the jersey over my head, and I just loved those games. So to me, that was a big influence, and I was just loved it from a young age.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, when did kind of the fighting and kind of the tougher aspect of your game kind of come into play? Because obviously, you know, the fighting and all the other physical stuff doesn't come until the later years of your playing time as a youth. So when did it kind of start for you? Did it start in Bantam or, like, you know, when you got to the Q? You know, was did somebody say you might have to make a switch, or was it just a mental thing that you just kind of like doing it?
It was more or less like I was a midget, nothing like... My dad kind of talked to me, the coach kind of talked to me, like, what's going to separate you from somebody else? And I'll be the first person to admit to tell you, I don't consider myself a tough guy. I'll never be a heavyweight or anything like that.
Right.
I do it just kind of to separate myself to earn a role. So, for example, like my first fight was at the QMJHL Combine. My grandma, my good buddies, Andrew Fufeld, who I played with, his brother, me and him kind of just went at it. And there's no fighting in that. And it was more or less just a heat of the moment thing. That was kind of my first introductory to it. We had cages on. We both ripped them off kind of thing. But it was more or less like, what can I do to either help the team? Where players have to find a point where you're a goal scorer, you're a role player. And to me, it was more or less, what can I do to stand out at camp when I was 16? I was in PEI for my first QMJHL camp, not a clue in the world how I was going to make it, do anything like that, right? So I kind of just scrapped a guy, and I was like, okay, I kind of like this. I'm not great at it, but it's something that I enjoyed. I have fun with it. I mean, maybe my head's not agreeing with that after too many punches to it, but it's something that I just like doing, and I have fun doing it. It's something that, you know, it can change the momentum of a game. It can go that... like a teammate gets hit from behind or something, you just stick up for them. It's more of a respect thing, and that's something I enjoy. I would love to be a 60 goal scorer if I could, but that's just something that I can't do. So that's it kind of just came naturally, and I just don't mind doing it, no matter who, if it's a tough guy that I have to fight or something like that. So it's just something I enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. You know, your first fight, was it kind of like one of the what's the word I'm looking for? Was it kind of like sporadic? Because I feel like when guys get in their very first fight ever, you know, you're not really thinking about it too much, and you're kind of just grabbing on and kind of just throwing. Was it one of those, or did you have time to kind of think and be like, okay, you know, maybe I should, I don't know, cross grip here and just throw something? Or was it just like all out, just like almost like a fish out of water, you know?
It was, yeah, it was crazy. Like the adrenaline was going, obviously, and I had no sweet clue. I probably couldn't find my way out of a wet paper bag at that point. I kind of just grabbed the guy and just started throwing, and he was a bigger guy and just knocked my face in. But it was just, yeah, like you said, spur of the moment, and I would just kind of worked away from that. And one of my first coaches was Gordy DeWire, who's a tough guy in the NHL.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
So he obviously knows how to throw him, and I've asked him for tips here and there, but he wanted me to play hockey. And at that point I was young, I was 16, in PEI there. And so to me, it was like, you have to fight. That's how you're going to earn respect in the league. But, he tried to develop me to be a better player. And, it was just something, yeah, like I said, spur of the moment. And, since then, I guess I've had a couple, but, yeah, I just try to, even now I still try to develop how I'm, like technique, it's tough. You have guys that are so good at it, and I just try to throw.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, and you said you had, you know, you were doing, you know, kind of fight shadow boxing when you were a kid in the Halifax Mooseheads jersey, but you actually ended up playing for Halifax. You know, how was it being able to play for that since you got to watch them so much growing up?
Yeah, I loved it. Like, it's kind of a childhood dream. Like, you know, I always want to play for the Halifax Mooseheads, and the day I got picked up by them off waivers was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it was real. Obviously, I still had to go to camp and make the team. I was 19, and it was just a dream come true playing at home. I was living with my parents there. They were my billet family, so it was great. It's something that you always dream of, and once you're there, you don't realize how good you actually have it until once you leave. So it was something that I really, really cherish with that organization.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I got to ask about this guy because he was a teammate of yours out in Halifax. And if you ask me, I'd put him and his brother, they're probably like the two toughest in hockey. But you had Alex Gallant as a teammate out there. How was Alex, and what was it like watching him play?
Unbelievable. I played with him, obviously, for 1 year there in PEI, and he's the nicest guy you'll ever meet off the ice. He's a salt of the earth, give you the shirt off his back kind of guy. But he once he hits that ice, he's a different different type of guy. He can throw haymakers, and you wouldn't tell that. He's a skinny guy off the ice. Obviously, he's built muscle now, but back then, he was just a skinny kid, and he was looking to make a name for himself, just like his brother, and he could throw the heaviest haymakers I've ever seen. He would just pummel guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man. Him and his brother, they're like, I wish Gallant got a better shot with the Lightning, because I was a Lightning fan. When I don't watch the NHL nearly as much anymore. As you know, I focus pretty much on the ECHL now. But I was always – I had my fingers crossed when he was with Syracuse that he was going to get a game or two up there in the show, but unfortunately he didn't. But, yeah, I always have to ask about him because, he had that great tilt this year, probably one of the fights of the year. That was awesome. So definitely had to ask about that. One of the big questions I got, I make a post every once in a while, if I'm interviewing a guy, what are some fan questions? Probably the biggest one I got was, what made you go after Joe Valeno and start the whole thing with Boko Imama? That was probably by far the most asked question.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually never got to talk about this publicly, so this is the first time that I've on an interview talking about it.
Here we go, breaking news at the Five for Fighting show. Awesome, I love it. Exclusively found here, folks.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, I knew the situation. Joe is an unbelievable player. He's exceptional status in the league at the time. I'm a 20-year-old in Halifax. Obviously, you know who's out on the ice kind of thing. Like, at the time, I got the puck near the blue line. I got a cross-check from behind from somebody. I turned around, cross-checked him. Not, like, in my brain, it just clicks. I didn't realize who it was. Looking back now, I should have obviously kept my emotions in check. But it was something that it was spur of the moment. I didn't know who crossed up me late from behind. I turn around, I give them a cross check. They cross check me back. I say, do you want to go? He kind of just looks at me, cross checks me again. So at that point, I just drop one glove, give him a punch, and then all hell breaks loose. I felt bad about it for years after, to be fully honest with you. I think it was a situation that could have been handled differently from both sides, but especially for me as a 20-year-old in that league, I think it's something that you have to take the time. He's in the league for a reason. Unbelievable player. He makes the league better. And then obviously Boko was doing the right thing, right? He's known as a tough presence. The kid's 15. Obviously he's going to dump the bench. He's going to come after another 20-year-old. And I think Boko did the right thing. Same thing I would do if someone came after our exceptional status, if we had one. And he's one tough customer. And he came out and fed me my lunch, and it was good. I respect Boko for doing what he did. And obviously I've never talked to either of them, but it's something that I look back on and wish that it was handled differently, because a lot of press came out about like a death threat, all that stuff.
Oh,
like
shit,
that.
Jesus.
People in Quebec were just wishing me the worst, and it's just something that, like, it could have been avoided. It was just heat of the moment. I didn't realize who it was, and I'm not out there to hurt anybody. I'm not actually trying to grease anybody, but the first time I got to talk about it. So that's my side of it. Obviously it was spur of the moment, and it's just something that could have been handled differently.
Yeah, well, it's hockey's such a different game, and some people need to realize that in terms of, hockey's played on emotion. And so when stuff happens, it's not always perfect. It's never going to be perfect no matter what you do. There's always something. So, could it have gone different? Yeah, probably. But at the end of the day, everybody's moved on. It's all good.
Exactly. Yeah. So obviously he's had a good career. He's been in Detroit. So I'm glad, happy for him. And I just think that things could have went differently, but I respect both sides of it, from Valeno and from Boko, where they did the right thing. And yeah, that's all I got to say.
For sure. Talking about the Q and you're playing there, of course, the QMJHL just came out this year, and they finally, it's been, writing's been on the walls for quite a bit now, but they finally came out and basically just made fighting an outright ban now. How do you feel about that?
I have mixed emotions about it. Obviously, I'm on the ice with guys who are around that age, and they're unbelievably skilled. They can stick handle 10 times before I get one stick handle off, and it's something that I look at. You go to a university game where I played at Dalhousie, and you get guys who come from the QMJHL, OHL, WHL, that there's no fighting, so they know that they can get away with more dirty things, such as slashing from behind, like little greasy things, and there's no policing to the game, where I think a teammate, let's say, gets blindsided or just something like that, like you want to go stick up for them, you want to kind of get retribution or that dirty hit or something like that, and you can't. I went to a couple of QMJHL playoff games this year with the Mooseheads. So I just was watching, and there's less contact, a lot more skill, but I still think it's something that needs to be in the game. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to fight five times a game or anything. Like, obviously, it doesn't happen anymore, but it's just something that I think should still be in the game. It's part of hockey. It's the way it's been. I know people say, you know, things need to move on, but I still think that's a big aspect of the game, whether it's momentum shift, it's just sticking up for somebody. That's the biggest thing. I think that's why it could be in. And I understand they're worried about injuries, concussions, all that, which is totally fair, but I've got more concussions from hits than I have fights. So that's all. But I just think it's still be there.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's such a gray area too, with especially with junior, because when you look at it, and like, you, like for that instance, you know, you had a guy who was 15 and yourself who was 20. Now, does that happen all the time? No, that's actually kind of a unicorn. So it's not like people kind of go to that example and it's like, well, look, you know, there's a, could be a 20-year-old fighting a 16-year-old. It's like that really didn't, it doesn't happen as much, not like it used to do way back in the day, because obviously that was a lot more prevalent, but like it's already on its way out. I didn't see the kind of point of putting it in, you know, just how it is. But, and I know you touched on it as well with university hockey. How was the play there? Because every time I ask guys about how playing is in university hockey, they say the same thing. It's always like, it's the skill is there, but it's always, there's a lot more stick work at university hockey.
Yeah, I honest to God, I loved my time at university in the AUS. I thought it's the best league around. It's just not marketed it well enough. I think the talent level, you have guys who are drafted that go to many schools around here, such as Dal, St. Mary's, St. X, Acadia, UMB obviously has a wagon of a team every year. I think it's unbelievable hockey. It's fast paced. So that made it an easy transition going from there right to the coast. It's kind of the same skill level, obviously with better players in the coast, but the speed's the same, and I think it's a great league, and I'd recommend anyone to go there. We had a couple guys this year that obviously played AUS and went to Wichita, so, and they said the same thing. It's a great league. It's just people are more interested in the junior, which is obviously the talent level, and there's, you get top players with NHL, but university hockey is a very high level, high level hockey, so it's good.
Yeah, for sure. So with the Q, you fought a guy, and it was funny, he messaged me, and of course, former guest of the show, and it was actually the guy you said you listened to his episode, but he was like, oh man, he was my first QMJHL pro fight, and it was Nico Blatchman. Take us through that fight with Nico. How was it?
Yeah, he was on, I believe, St. John's time. I was on Halifax, and obviously, he's trying to make a name for himself. He's a tough customer. He's a thick man, so he's got some muscle on him, and I think we just kind of grabbed each other in the corner, and we kind of went at it, and he was throwing haymakers. I was throwing as much as I could, a couple pillows at him, but I couldn't balance for God-given sake. I wish I had better balance, but no, I think it was we both got a couple punches in, both fell down, and it was just a good scrap, and obviously he was this year in the coast, having good fun over there with Norfolk and the other teams he's with. So it's something I like going back just to watch, like, and keep up with the guys that I see that I fought before. So it's he's doing really well, and I watched the episode with you guys, and it was a good one.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to watch the episode, at least, you know, putting yourself through some hardships, listening to my voice for a little bit. but another guy I got to ask you about, and I know he was out there with Fort Wayne for a bit, and you fought him. I was looking at your rookie fight card with Halifax, but Oliver Cooper, you fought a couple times. How was it going against him?
Good. He's a big boy. He's 6'3", 6'4". It was something we grew up playing together on summer, our spring team. So, and then I don't know what it was, we were the same age, and something just clicked every time we played. We were both two gritty players, and we just, every time we meet in the corner or something to be said, and we would just go at it. Like, there was no hard feelings. There was no, like, FU matches or anything like that. We kind of just grabbed each other, went at it. That was one of my first fights, I think, when I was in the queue, me versus him. And yeah, he's a big boy. He's strong. I know he's going to the EIHL now this year. He's a good player, had a couple of games in the A, but it was just something that there was never any bad blood between us. It was more or less just, this is what our team's needs at the time. And we went at it. So we had a couple scraps.
Yeah, you did. That was the first name I noticed on that. I think it was your very first fight in the queue was against him. So that was awesome. You know, and so going through your fight card a bit too, and you look, and you had some pretty high totals, especially even for like, you know, 2014, 15, you know, you had 15 tilts that year, you had 11, 12. I mean, that's pretty up there for today's standards, you know, as fighting is kind of getting out of the game. When did you kind of start getting more comfortable with the role in terms of kind of not so like the sporadic fighting to where you kind of go in and you kind of start thinking about it, slowing down and kind of play, I don't know, for lack of a better term, playing the fight over in your head and being able to kind of make moves as it goes, as opposed to just being kind of sporadic and wide open?
Yeah, to be fully honest, I still don't know what I'm doing out there in a fight. It kind of just happens. Like, I'm not a technical fighter. I'm not a heavyweight. I'll stand up for my teammates that need it. And it's just something that, like, for example, like this year in practice, I had Steph Fournier teach me some things. When I was playing with him, I had Dylan Boothley, when he got there with the week practice, kind of like different grips, stuff like that, grabbing certain areas. But I think for me, when it's the heat of the moment, I just try to throw as much as possible. I can take a punch. I don't try to play defense at all. Like, I have a big brick head on me, so it's something that I can take a punch and just try to stand in there and not lose my balance. I was around. Yeah, like I said, when I got to the cube, my dad was, and my coach were like, what's going to separate you from the next guy? And to me, that this was it, to play that role. We're more of a gritty, you can hit, play the PK, fight. It's something that might, not a lot of guys can play bottom six, and I'm okay with it. If I'm in the lineup, that's okay to me, as long as I can help the team in any way. So it's something that I've kind of accepted over the years, like I said, and it's just over the years, I enjoy it. I'm not doing it for, I'm not trying to be the toughest guy in the league. I'm not trying to kill anybody out there, but it's just a role that I enjoy and something how I can help with the teams I play on. So,
yeah. So your first year in the ECHL, you actually ended up with, you ended up with Allen. How was it? And, you know, kind of take us through, how did you actually end up there? Cause I know, it's a little bit different process, you know, going to the ECHL as opposed to, you know, getting drafted in the NHL and whatever. So take us through that. How'd you end up there?
Yeah, so I was at Dow in my fifth year. I wasn't sure if so my fourth year, COVID started to hit, and I was, I'm not sure if I want to play hockey anymore. I was thinking about getting a job, and I was training on the ice and off the ice in the gym. And I was like, you know what? I'm young. I want to try to go play pro. And I had an age at the time, Jesse Morin, who's unbelievable, out of Quebec there with Cortex. And he's like, Kansas City wants to give you a shot. And I said, sure, I would love to go. They kind of wanted me for the year after, but we pushed for that year. So I played four or five games at Kansas City. I got released, but we played Allen, and I believe it was Tolleson those times. Allen saw me, and they picked me up. Steve Martinson gave me a shot, which was unbelievable. Obviously, it was COVID year, so the league was very back with talent where teams weren't playing. And our Allen team was a great experience. I played there till the end of the season. They were in playoffs, so for a good run. And I loved my time there. Allen's a great city, great spot. Steve's obviously not there anymore, but I thank him for giving me just the opportunity to put my foot in the door and get into the league.
How was Steve Martinson? Obviously, he's a, I mean, legendary hockey coach. You know, anybody who knows minor pro hockey, they're going to know who Steve Martinson is. So, you know, how was it with him as bench boss and playing under him?
I loved him. He got the most out of you. He's kind of a quiet guy, but he's right about a lot of things. Like, he'll tell you about your game, and he's honest with it, which I really enjoy in a coach. It's someone who's going to tell you if you're not doing well, tells you exactly what's going on. He's not for everybody, obviously, but guys that I played with loved him, that I know so far on Allen, after I still reach out to them, they still love Marty. And he got the most out of you. He's a coach that would go to the end of the earth for you, and he just wanted the best for each and every player. So he's a guy that I respect very, very highly. And I would love to see him back coaching again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so the next year you're with Allen again, but were you there when Yablonsky came in and kind of showed the guys some fight tips when he was playing with Idaho?
No, I wish I was. I think that year I quit halfway through. It was actually in Idaho after the game. I went into Marty, kind of explained that I got into policing and I'm done with hockey. So that was my decision at the time. And I wish I was there for Yablonsky, because I just love to watch him fight. And he's a strong man. He loves to throw.
Actually, it's funny you bring that up with the policeman. That was like one of probably the second most asked questions. Like, I thought he was supposed to be a policeman or something. Like, you know, what brought him back?
Yeah, so it wasn't sporadic. I always wanted to be a police officer. I when I was young. I had a mentor that was a police officer with, when I was with the Mooseheads, when I ride along, stuff like that. So it was something I really enjoyed. It was kind of just, I love the job. It's something new every day. So I got into the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police here in Canada. And I just decided, you know what, that's it for hockey. I'm going to go and do that. So I did the training for 6 months, moved back to Nova Scotia. I got posted here up in Eskazoni First Nations Reserve up in Cape Breton. And I loved my time. I was there 8 months working. But there's something about me that even I told my girlfriend, I miss it. I miss the game. I miss being with the guys. I miss the road trips. I miss the iron lung, the bus, going on those 18-hour drives. You know, guys hate them. But it's just something about me. Not great at the game. I just loved it. And I was like, I'm young. I want to do it as long as I can. The work world will be there afterwards. So it's something, it was a hard decision to quit. My boss was very rattled at me for quitting right away. But yeah, I enjoyed policing. I'd recommend it to anybody if they want to get into it, especially in the hockey world. There's lots of connections, stuff like that. Other than that, yeah, love the job, but just the game had a bigger passion for me.
Yeah, sometimes always comes calling you back. It's the way with hockey. I've done the same thing. Like, oh, I'll stop watching for a bit, and I'll come back to hockey every time. No matter, I'll tell myself, oh, I'll try to get into, you know, baseball a bit more or something like that. And every time, it's just always back to hockey.
Exactly.
Well, a couple guys you fought that second year. One of them being Sean Allen. I know you fought him a couple times, and he was actually the winner of the Clash of the Coast fantasy tournament I had this year.
Yeah.
So take us through that. How was Sean Allen? What was it like scrapping with him?
He is a tough customer, I'll tell you that. Yeah. He probably gave me one of the hardest punches in the face I've ever seen. Once behind the net there. There's just something about it. He was on Wichita. I was on Allen this time. There's a bit of a rivalry there. And it was just something that he's a tough, gritty player. And we would just somehow manage to end up on the same ice at the same time. And he was trying to get his team going, whether we were up or we were down. And I was just a customer that he was looking to pummel on. And yeah, we were just connected a couple of times, and we had a couple of skirmishes, scrums every game, but I think we had two or three fights overall, and he was just a guy that was always, he would never say no, right? I respect that. He's a guy that would do anything for his team. So he fought a guy this year on our team when he was on Cincinnati there, and he's just a tough, tough guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he was definitely, it was a close vote. It was between him and actually your teammate you had in Allen. It was Darian Skio. Those were the two finalists. And so how was Skio as a teammate? I always ask, I've asked a couple of times. I'd love to get Skio on the show eventually. But what was it like playing alongside Darian Skio?
He's one of the best guys. He would literally do anything for anybody, even if he hated his own teammate, which he never would. But he'd stick up for anybody, and that guy's a tough guy. I love playing with him now because you never know what could happen when we're on the ice. He might grab somebody out of nowhere and just demolish them, right? So Theo is one of the best guys, and I'll tell him he helped me jump on the podcast for you. I didn't know who to vote for, whether it was Sean Allen or Skio, because I love them both, but don't know Sean Allen personally, but my vote went to Skio because I seen what he's done to guys.
Yeah, absolutely. It was funny, man. It was the most votes we had in a poll, and it was the closest voting we had. I think Allen won by, I want to say it was something like less than 20 votes, something like that. It was crazy. But yeah, that was a good, definitely love Skio. I consider him one of the top dogs in the league for sure. Another guy you fought, and I got to ask about him, absolute legend in the ECHL, and you fought him a couple times, and you had another tilt with him this year, but Garrett Klotz, how is it taking that man on? I mean, and that dude is just still jacked to the gills, like just goes out there and just gives it hell.
Exactly. Yeah. The first time I ever seen him, I was in Allen. I was also a rookie, and he's outside in the nice Allen heat there, to warm up the shirt off. Like, this man's a Greek god. He's pretty chiseled. And I never want to fight that guy.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't own a shirt if I looked like Garrett Klotz. Holy shit.
No, exactly. So, one of my first fights this year, I tore a tendon in my pinky, actually. So the whole season this year, I was playing with a torn tendon in my pinky. So every fight, I was like, don't know if I should. And I still did, and it would just hurt more and more. So he hit one of our guys from behind there, not on purposely. It was just one of those things. And he asked me off the draw. I was like, should we go? And he was looking forward. He didn't have a fight this year. He said, do me a favor. So we kind of just off the draw, drop him. And I wish it stopped right away, but it didn't. I got a couple in. He got more than me, and then I always can't keep balance, and that he came down with his power, and the rest backed off again, and it was good. He was happy with the fight, and I'm glad I gave him his first one. I mean, he's a tough customer, and just I always used to watch his fight, still do, and he's fought some tough customers as well. So just something that I was trying to stick up for a teammate after he hit him from behind. I think that's more respecting, and he was totally okay with it. And I heard he's back in Rapid this year, so I'm,
right
I'm
on.
Hoping that I won't. Yeah, I won't. I'm hoping I don't have to go home again, but. Hopefully he puts up 50 goals and I can put up 50 goals and there's no more fighting between us.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if you want to talk about, I would probably say Garrett Klotz has the best fight card and fight record in the out of all the players in the ECHL right now. He's done it for so many years and it's cool that he's coming back again next year. And you brought it up too. You guys fought off the face-off, and for those listening might know that the ECHL has just recently come out with a new rule banning fights off the face. Well, I won't say banning, it's a penalty, or I think it's a game misconduct if you do it now. You know, how do you feel about that? You can no longer fight off the face-off, and if you have more than one fight in a game, you get an automatic game misconduct, which that's, you know, that's fine. I don't think most guys were having multiple fights a game, but the fighting off the face-off, how do you feel about that? And now here's a quick message from our sponsor. Sports fans, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. Bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. In West Virginia, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in Connecticut, help is available. For a gambling problem, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdictions. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Max bet $50. 10 plus regular required for 1-0% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restriction apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball terms.
What do you want us to do? Skate around 15 seconds and then go? It's I don't know. I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to eliminate less and less fights, which it will. But I don't agree with it. We're just going to skate around, disrupt play for 10, 15 seconds and then go at it. You're not going to, unless you eliminate it, it's still going to happen. I don't agree with the game misconduct. Fight's a fight. What happens if that guy just, I don't know, being greasy, me or someone else comes out and they come after me or I go after them. It's something that it's going to happen. So that, I don't think that rule is actually going to change anything. Unless they totally eliminate fighting, you're going to get guys that are going to go into the boards and then go at it. But obviously, I'm not a league commissioner. I can't make changes myself. And I think the fans enjoy it. Like, you see two guys talking off the face-off. Like, guys on the bench know, like, watch it, watch this, watch this. Like, Lewiski this year would always do that off face-off. He'd talk to a guy, then he'd square up. Like, to me, there's nothing more exciting. You see guys that talk and their banter's there. Oh, they're going. But, yeah. I don't agree with the rule. I can't change it. I'm one person, but unless they eliminate it, it's going to be the same thing this year.
Yeah, no, I had to ask. And so I said the same thing. It's like, it's just going to, guys are going to skate around. They already do it. They do it at the AHL level now because that rule is there. And it's like, if guys are going to fight, they're going to fight anyway. So what?
Exactly.
It's like, does it do anything? No, but it's just another rule to kind of coat or like curb fighting and, you know, just, I don't know. I don't like it.
Exactly. I hear you.
it just doesn't make sense to me. But you know, a couple more here and I'll get you on your way. You brought him up before and he was out there with you in Wichita, but you played with Stephane Fournier and he was showing you a couple tips and stuff in practice. How was Fournier as a teammate?
Great guy. He obviously Steph's a tough customer and he'd do anything for you. He's a great teammate to have, and everyone's seen the video of him just policing the red line there and warm up, staring at people. And he's a scary man. Once he does that, he gets, he's like one of those Top Gun pilots that missile locks in, his eyes just stare at you. And he's out for blood, right? But no, he's a good guy. He does it all, works hard down low. He was only there for a month or two when I was there. And then he went overseas. But no, he's a tough, tough customer, funny guy. He'll talk your ear off. So Steph's a great guy, and I wish him the best wherever he's at next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Stephon Fournier, tough dude. A couple more for you, and then, like I said, I'll get you on your way. I got to ask a lot, like, I'm trying to get more personal questions here. Who was your favorite goal scorer growing up? You know, like, who was, like, your idol? Like, you'd have posters of him in your room or anything like that?
Yeah, so I was a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and not a goal scorer, but my mom's friend's an artist, and she had a painting of Darcy Tucker in my room.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love Darcy Tucker. For some reason, he's on the power play, put backdoor tap ins in, but he could also scrap, and he's always chirping out there. So I loved him when he's on the Leafs. Obviously, Domi was still there. They had Cabrera. They had all the throwback names. So I'm a big Leafs fan. I loved watching, obviously, Sid. He's from Nova Scotia. So he was kind of someone I looked up to. I could never be like him. I wish I could. But he's someone that he's around here. He's a little bit older than me, but he's someone I've enjoyed watching growing up. But Darcy Tucker was a big influence. Couldn't tell you why, but other than he's chirping, scoring goals, and he played a good role for the Leafs, and I just enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's funny you brought up Darcy Tucker. I don't know what made me do it. It was the other day I was on my lunch break, and I was just looking up hockey clips like I do because I'm a fucking loser on my lunch break looking up hockey clips. And I was like, I don't know what made me think of it. It was the first time I watched the hit in years, but his hit on Sammy Kapanen, my God, that is still one of the greatest hits I've ever seen. Unreal. Unreal.
Yeah, he laid the body on him, put him out. It was a clean hit. It was good. It was nice. But I thought he could do it all. So that's why I enjoyed him. He's just a good role player for the Leafs, and love watching him play.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was going to be kind of my next question. Is there any player you kind of try to emulate yourself after, whether it be your fighting or how you play with puck handling, shooting? Is it Darcy Tucker, or do you kind of try to take I guess footage, for lack of a better term, from multiple different players and kind of emulate your game that way?
Yeah, my friends always tell me I try to be like a skill guy on the ice in practice, and that's just not me. But I just try to – I watch everybody. Like, obviously, I like watching Brad Marchand, another guy from here, and he does it all. He scores goals. He hits. He can fight. He in the corners. He works his – I can't say. He works his hardest every shift, right? So it's something that I love watching him. He was a big influence too, just because he can block up. He's working his hardest. I loved watching Matt Martin. I think him and Cal Clutterbuck on that fourth line on the Islanders is something that I just love watching. How they don't get many minutes, but once they're out there, they're very effective, right? And they're blocking shots or hitting. That Islanders fourth line there was three of them. That was just such a good line for them the past couple of years before Matt Martin went to Toronto. But there's no specific player that I enjoy. Like, he's my favorite. I love watching. I just kind of love the game, love watching it. And especially now that I understand the game better, it's kind of the little tactics of how guys are with their sticks in the defensive zone, offensive zone, how they're getting open, what they're doing to create space for themselves, something that I started really kind of pick up on. And our coaches this year, John Gerskis and Bruce Ramsey, were unbelievable with video. So there's so much of it that anything we needed, Johnny was on it. And it really helped me in my game. And it's something I like that just goes a long way.
How was it playing under Bruce Ramsey? I know another legendary tough guy. So how is it playing under him?
I thought Rammer was great. He's a salt of the earth good guy. He'd do anything for you. And I love playing in Wichita. It was a great spot. I wasn't sure I was going to end up there, but I'm very glad I did. Rammer's a great coach, and I'm glad he's going back there. So it's something that it's good for the organization. It's going to be good for everyone going back there, and Rammer's a good coach.
He ever show any of the boys some tips and tricks to the fighting trade at all in practice?
No, not in practice. I think he'd have a couple wobbly pops on the bus and get his fights going, and a couple guys would watch, stuff like that. But Yeah, no, he's a tough customer. We'd always be in the back of the bus playing cards, watching his fights, just talking about him. And he'd always come back, see what we're up to, and we're just happen to be watching his videos, right? So it's he was a tough guy, and I've heard lots of stories that there's a guy from here, Scott Allison, who played with him, that has told me stories. Rammer's fighting guys in the stands and fought an alligator, I heard. So he jumped on an alligator's back and punched an alligator, I guess. So he's a tough customer.
Yeah, no, you got to be tough if you're punching alligators. Only I'm from Florida, and I don't even do that shit. The last question I got from a lot of folks, I think it's just because, you know, a lot of the Wichita fans were, you know, experienced to Kelly Bent is newer this year, but they always ask, you know, how do you enjoy playing in Wichita?
I loved Wichita. It's a hard city to explain. It's very spread out, which is great. We live on the west side, Spring Street, kind of in the middle. It's a good spot. The fans are unbelievable there. It's a bigger rink, but they try to pack it as much as they can. And they love the game, and we love like talking to them, interacting with them. They're at every event, and it's something that you don't see in many places, but the Wichita fans are unbelievable. And if I could recommend anyone to go there, I would. It's a good spot, good team, good organization. The coaches are unbelievable. Fans are great. And I really, really enjoyed my time there.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Well, Kelly, I appreciate you for taking the time to come on the podcast and let me talk your ear off for a little bit.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me, Alec. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, good luck in your off season, whether you're coaching or you're you know, training. Best of luck to you next year, and again, I appreciate you for taking the time to come on.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Have a good summer.
You got